If you read into the following chapter, chapter 35, Jacob and his family are living at a place called Shechem. And it is, as I mentioned briefly earlier, there are things that have happened at Shechem. And you know, folks, much of what happened, and it's very simple, much of what happened could be traced to Jacob not obeying the Lord. And if you read that chapter 24 and you see what happened there, and you see towards the end of the chapter how things had escalated, and it was a time when Jacob was greatly frightened. He was obviously very unhappy about how the enemies of him and his people would perceive him. In verse 30, he says, "To make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites." This seems almost typical of Jacob, blame somebody else. And of course, they had behaved wickedly. But we need to go a little bit deeper and a little bit further back than that and say, well, Jacob, if they hadn't been there, then these things would not have happened if you had obeyed the Lord as you should have. And folks, it's very easy to get into that position where you see one thing sliding into another. It says in that verse 30 as well, "And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed and my house." He's forgetting all about God's covenant promise. He's forgetting all about the Lord's faithfulness. And now he's saying that there's trouble around, and it's given to him a very pessimistic outlook. And that's sometimes what trouble does. It affects us in a way that we become almost paranoid. And that's what he was. And we become greatly troubled. And I think of the various places where you find Jacob in a tight corner. Now, we know that he said one time, "All these things are against me." And I think we looked at that some years ago. And truly, there were things that were against him. But again, there were a good number of those things that were against him was because of him. And folks, whenever we step forward from Jacob's day to today, Christians often find themselves in awkward positions and awkward situations, and people do perceive us in one way or another, but we don't want that to lead to you and I being negative and pessimistic. And every Christian I'm talking to now almost are talking about the darkness of the day, and I'm fully aware of that. And I don't know everything that's going on, but I have a fair idea of how things are spiritually. And I know it's in decline. But we don't want that to steal our joy. And we know that the Lord is able to change it all. But Jacob here, like many people today, something has come along and we maybe didn't deal with it right in our own lives. And then we have begun to feel in a certain way as Jacob was here. And before we know, we find ourselves like Jacob in verse 30. He's at wit's end corner. That's where he is. He's at wit's end corner. His sons now have, they're guilty of murder. Their sister had been harmed. They took it very badly. And as I said, we're not, if it was my sister, I wouldn't be too happy either. But they reacted in a way that led to the death of people. And things are in turmoil. Jacob is at wit's end corner. And sometimes, as believers, we can come to wit's end corner. Sometimes it can because we focus too much upon the negative and that which is around us. Very often, it's because of us. Because we have left off God's word, which he warms our hearts through and speaks to us through and strengthens us through and directs us through. And apathy has come along into our lives, and we've stepped back from pressing on with the Lord. And then we've become discouraged. And then we've had a look at things and we've become more discouraged and despondent. Maybe we've tried to do something and that hasn't worked at all. And before we know, we're finding ourselves, we're wit's end corner. And you know, some things about people at wit's end corner, Sometimes they can still smile. And they can still give the impression that all is well. And because on many other occasions, Christians who are pressing on with the Lord come to wit's end corner. And whether it is because of disappointment, because of something that was said, maybe inadvertently, has hurt them, or hundreds of other reasons, suffice to say that we know that anyone can find themselves at wit's end corner. And the title that I'm giving to the message this morning is Moving On from Wit's End Corner. I hope you're not there, but I'm sure you have some cares and some anxieties and some worries. Probably the biggest worry for all of us, whatever age we are, can be summed up in one word: future. Future. Well, I want this morning to look at moving on from Wit's End Corner. And bearing in mind what we read in verse 30, where Jacob is now as a man, look into chapter 35. I want to draw your attention very simply to some things, and we trust that it will help you. The first thing I want you to see here is communion. In verse 1 there it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." There was a time when God had already shown Jacob what he was to do. Now, if you go back just a couple of pages to chapter 31, you will see this for yourself. Genesis 31 and verse 3, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. But when he got as far as Canaan, he did not return to his kindred." He partially obeyed. His father's home was at Hebron, which was, if you look again and a little bit further back in chapter 28 and verse 20, 21, this is about 30 years ago, it says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." This was a vow that he made. And God had kept his part of the vow. God had provided for him. He asked her for basic things, for food and for raiment. And you know, folks, we all like comfort and we like some nice things. But you know, if we have food and clothes and a roof over our heads and the Lord's presence, and there are plenty of God's people in the world today, and they scarcely have that. If we have that in his presence and blessing, then we have so much. God had kept his part of the vow, but Jacob's stop at Succoth and then Shechem showed that there was reluctance on his part. It was a very popular, very common human trait. It's called reluctance or delay. And I just want to say today, folks, that delay in obeying the Lord in itself can bring many difficulties. And we know that if we delay with our missionaries and going out to reach those that are on the field and reach the lost, then the harvest can be lost. And we don't want to delay there. But there's so many things in the Christian church that we want to do. And sometimes God shows us very clearly, this is what we need to do. Well, we need to do it. We need to do it. And Jacob here, he needed to obey, but his delay led to many problems. Now, the delay finally ceases, and he moves to Bethel to worship, and later on to Hebron, to his father's house. And going to Bethel was a move that was extremely important for him. Remember now, we're talking about him being in communion with the Lord. The move from Shechem to Bethel was because of what God said. Look at it again in verse 1. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." And it was because of the word of God, because of what God said. And folks, it's always good to have as our foundation in anything that we endeavor to do in the church or any enterprise that you enter into yourself for the Lord, it's always good to genuinely have what God has said as your foundation. And it's not just a notion. Sometimes we will try things in God's work, and if it doesn't really work out, well, we will say then, well, we tried that, and the Lord hasn't opened up a door there, so, well, at least we tried. We just like Paul and others, the Spirit has closed the door, and we're not going to go that way. But so important to rely upon what God said. And there is satanic effort today. You think of this. Satanic effort to hinder the proclamation of God's word. And when God's word must be proclaimed in order that God's people are built up and that they're revived. And there is that satanic effort to hinder the preaching of the word. And so it was so important for Jacob and so important for us when we have the word to act upon it and to act without delay. Now, I want you to notice here as we consider this communion that he's having with the Lord has come along to Jacob. I want to say that in spite of all of Jacob's failures and now he's at wit's end corner and he said to his sons, look at the trouble you've brought me. And they could easily said, hold on a minute, Dad, look a little bit further back. Why are we here? Because you brought us here. And now we have all of this to contend with. But anyway, I want you to notice the significance of Bethel. You see what it says there? And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Now, Bethel was approximately 1,000 feet geographically. It was about 1,000 feet higher than Shechem. And that was of little significance. But what was of significance was this. Bethel was much higher morally and spiritually. Much higher morally and spiritually. And God's commands, folks, to us. People have said to me over the years, oh, I think it's the Lord's will that I do this. And I said, are you sure? Not that I can judge. And so, oh, it is. And you know that the flesh is looking to go a certain direction or there's some other motive, whether it's attention-seeking, whatever it happens to be, it's certainly not the Lord. It's not the Lord, because when the Lord commands his people, it is always to bring us to higher ground. I should always be seeking that. And I should be seeking it for you as a congregation and for my own family. And every one of us should always be seeking that the Lord would bring us to higher ground. That is, that when you're following after the Lord raises your life, young person and older person. And in spite of what the world tries to tell you, the world does not lower your life. The Lord does not lower your life, but rather the Lord raises your life. I was talking to a girl yesterday. She's a Baptist girl and a Christian. And she was telling me about how she's really nervous because she's been invited to address one of their ladies' meetings in one of their churches, and she's talking to me about that and told me what she's going to say and all, and said, do you think would that be all right? And it was absolutely fine what she was going to say. But then she said something that was very important, I think. She said, you know, she said, as Christians today, if you don't agree with all the changes that take place and legislation and everything goes on, or lifestyles, if you don't agree with that, you're simply seen as an enemy of humanity. I thought that was good. That's true. You're seen as an enemy of humanity. You're not seen as someone who has their opinion that is Bible-based, but rather you are seen as an enemy of humanity. And I know what you meant, because man's philosophies will put you on a downward decline. Always remember that. They'll put you on a downward into decline, but God's word will always lift you up. And young person, wherever you go in your life, you look to the Lord to lead you, because he will bring you to higher ground, not lower ground. He may have you serve him in a place that is very dark at some time in the future, and perhaps where you're lonely and all of that, but it will still be higher ground, because you'll be in the will of the Lord. And it was not the word of God. Let's be clear about it. It was not the Bible that put society into the mess it's in now. And, you know, I would take great exception to anyone saying that to me, that it was the Bible that done that. But rather it is man. And men's words will lead you from Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Men's words will often lead you from Bethel down to Shechem, the place where all the trouble was, or is. So the significance here of Bethel, it was to go up to Bethel. And this was a good day for Jacob because he was listening. He was in communion with the Lord at this time. But there's not only how I know he was listening is that the Lord went on and says there in verse 1, you see what it says, and make there an altar unto God, and that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. It says also there, and dwell there. He wasn't to go to Bethel and make an altar there and then catch the next bus back to Shechem. But rather he was to leave it. He had to have that resolve to leave Shechem behind. And as it were, to show it a clean set of heels. He had to go. Something fascinating about sin sometimes and things that are not for our benefit. There's something fascinating about those things that seems to be able to hold on to us. It's hard to leave. Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says there in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And that's what every Christian is. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that is very, very encouraging and important, and we know it to be true. Verse 18 says, and I will be a father unto you. He has delivered us from sin. We are assured of his daily presence. He will give us direction, and in spite of anything, we can delight in him. That's a good place to be. But the verse in the middle, that is verse 17, says, wherefore? In other words, because of what it says in verse 16, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's all very simple. You had to leave Shechem. Not try to explain away the significance of the wrongness, the depth of the wrongness, but rather he was just to leave it. He was to go up to Bethel and to dwell there. And folks, without being critical, it seems to be today in the world that God's people get caught up in things. Hard to leave it. Maybe it's a habit. Hard to leave it and to just go on with the Lord and to follow after him. He had to resolve here and be content to follow the Lord. And if we can do that, we're well on our way to blessing. I've already said, and I am old enough to know, that sometimes the things of the world seems to get such a grip on us that we find it hard to move on, hard to leave it behind. The altar there, of course, represents worship. And as I mentioned, Bethel, as I'm sure many of you are aware, means house of God. There was to be sacrifice there, and it all points to Christ. He was to go there and to worship the Lord. There was to be resolve and contentment in doing that. So folks, we're thinking here of his communion. He was wanting to leave Witch End Corner. And I don't know, the people at Witch End Corner for many, many reasons, but in many ways he was there because of his own behavior. He was there. But there was communion, and now things were going to change. God loved them still. There was the significance of Bethel. He had to go up, and God always brings you up. And his word always brings you up. There is resolve and contentment there. But I want you to see also that blessing motivates people. Blessing motivates people. In verse 1 it says, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. He's reminding Jacob of his previous experience. And he's saying to him here, do you remember when God appeared unto you when you were on the run? And he met you at the very point of your need. When you were filled with fear and uncertainty. And indeed, when he appeared unto you then, there was that, well, certainly there was that turning point in Jacob's life. I know there's some controversy. Some say, was he converted then? And others say, no, he was converted before. But I know his life was different from then, when the Lord met with him when he was on the run. He's reminding him now of the blessedness, and blessedness motivates people. It motivates us. It motivates you. If God blesses you in your own soul and answers prayer for you, whether it's regarding a loved one or someone else, you'll be coming along to the meeting. You're looking more blessing. And you'll want to do it. And he's dealing with Jacob here in a way now that will motivate him. Motivate him to leave Shechem behind and to go up to Bethel and to be content to worship the Lord there. And he's also in that verse reminding him of how he delivered him from trouble. It was from Esau when he fled. He was in danger. God had preserved him. And his heart at that time would have been full of gratitude. The death sentence that had hung over him, perhaps in his mind, it was now lifted whenever the Lord delivered him. And you and I, we've been delivered. God has delivered us from eternal death. And sometimes when we get to wit's end corner, we don't know what to do. And maybe we're like Jacob and think, aye, but she or he or they or whatever. No, it's me. It's me. You notice here that God doesn't say, oh, I know them boys, you need to do something about that. No, God deals with him. It was Jacob, the communion there. And the Lord says, get up to Bethel, be content to dwell there and to worship the Lord there and leave Shechem behind. And really, today the Lord comes along to us. And if there's a situation in our life, he's saying to us, move on from it. And that will help you to move on from wit's end corner. Maybe some sort of a tie that's not for our good. Leave it behind and move on from wit's end corner. And I know that what that girl said to me yesterday, that young woman, she said, it was absolutely 100%. If you don't agree with something as a Christian, you're not seen as one of the many different lines of thought that people may have on a certain issue. You're immediately seen, oh, you're an enemy of humanity. I noted yesterday that in some of the states in America, that legislators there have come down very strongly in some cases in protection of the unborn child. And I know that in some of those states, they have brought it down to no abortions after 6 weeks. And an absolute huge list of big hitters from Hollywood have all said, no more filming in that state, unless they change it again. No more filming for me in that state, unless they change it again. And then one of them used this excuse. They said, we want to be working in a state where there's more protection for women. Did you ever hear the leg of it? What about the child? And there they are. Some of the real big names are saying, listen, I can't remember the name of the state, which one it was, but we're not filming anymore there. Unless you change this, we're not having it. We're not having it. That, and see, Christian, when you take your stand, we'll put it like that. Even in a quiet way, maybe you're a shy person and you hate controversy and all of that, and you just say, no, I don't agree with it. You're seen as an enemy of humanity. An enemy of humanity. But anyway, we'll move on here, and we want to see, secondly, that the care that there was here, there was not only communion, but there was care. It says in verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are coming, that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. It seems to be dedication in his heart now. And among his family there were strange gods. That may seem like quite a strange thing, but that's what the Bible is showing us here. Remember Rachel, she's stolen Laban's idols. And Jacob's family had obviously digressed spiritually. They digressed spiritually and they had that which they should not have had. And he says to them here, take it and put away and be clean and change your garments. In other words, prepare yourself for this. And he even says to them there in verse 2, to put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean and change your garments. In other words, appear to be different. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment, please don't get me wrong here, that you dress like a nun or that you dress like somebody out of 1927 or something like that. I'm not saying that for one moment, but I'm saying this, that if you and I are looking the blessing of the Lord and want to be a blessing for the Lord, we need by our conversation, that's the way I would word it, our lifestyle. Hear so much about lifestyles these days and my rights to my lifestyle. Well, by our lifestyle, to show that we are the Lord's. This family wasn't doing that. But Jacob now, he's saying, he's taking care of the family here. He's saying, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the head of this home, and here's what you're going to do. Here's what I want you to do. Now, he was dealing with men here who could have been very difficult. That was his sons who'd committed the murder. But he said to them anyway, here's what I want you to do. Show that you have respect for the things of God. And I know that you don't worship a little idol, a little lady, or a little man, a little totem pole. But there are people today, and individuals have said it to me, some have quit Facebook altogether. There are people who can't live without Facebook. I'm not saying that you can't have great conversations and all on it and keep in touch. It's great for that. But some people are addicted to it. Simple as that. Or maybe television. Here's one for you. And I know it may be isolated instances, but there are Christians who cannot let go of pop music. They're addicted to it. And whether it's ones that are singing or the music itself, I don't know, but they can't let it go. You want the blessing of the Lord, you need to get rid of it. And maybe you're feeling down and you're wondering why you're feeling down and you're almost at wit's end corner. Well, this is worth considering. What's the clutter there? And that's certainly for me anyway, as I looked at this. What kind of clutter is there with me? Jacob here shows care. First of all, there was that communion with the Lord, what the Lord told him to do, then the care. But there also is confidence. If you look there in verse 5, it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Folks, isn't it great when God works on your part? And if he answers prayer for you in a specific way or does something really important for you in your life as far as you are concerned, does not give us great confidence in him and in who he is? Remember what Jacob had said at the end of verse 30. He said, oh, we be few in number, and they shall gather themselves against us and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, and my house. In other words, we're all finished. It's over now. What a miserable character at that stage. But if you look at him there in verse 5, they journeyed. And it says that the terror of God was upon the cities. That was the Canaanites and the Perizzites. The terror of God was upon them, and they did not pursue after him. What happened here? Jacob handed it all over to the Lord. He says, Lord, you know what I'm afraid of. And we've read about it there in verse 30. What he's afraid of. There's only a few of us. There's loads of them. And we can't do this. You know what I think here? I think purity gave power. When they dealt with the idols that he said to them about in verse 2, and they put them away, and there was that cleanness in their heart, that purity brought power. And it still does. Young person, wherever you do as a career, whoever you get in contact with, you remember this. People will laugh at holiness, but a holy life is a happy life. But it's not only a happy life, it can be a powerful life. powerful life. You read 2 Chronicles 13 about Abijah. He was greatly outnumbered. All around him, there were enemies. Behind him, at the sides, in front, he didn't know what to do. Didn't turn to his enemies. He cried to God. And because he was a man who was pure in heart and working with the Lord intervened on his part, and the Lord, and you can read it yourself, 2 Chronicles 13, the Lord gave them a great victory on that occasion. Purity brought power here. And Jacob, he's now, just a wee while ago, he was saying, listen, you have ruined everything. I'm going to be killed and we're all finished. And then God said, hold on a minute, Jacob. Jacob was at wit's end corner. It was the communion. And Jacob listened well because he there's a care for his family next. He said, you need to put all these things away. And then there's now the confidence. And this confidence, God has come and stepped in for them. The purity brought power. And you'll also notice here that when they journeyed, the terror came upon their enemies. Not only was there no harm for them, the enemy was afraid to approach them because of the terror of God. Christian has many enemies. Again, I'm not in a siege mentality here or anything like that. But Christianity, living for God, saying that Jesus Christ is God and that you need him as your Savior, that what we must do with our sin, as the Bible shows it to us, we must repent of it and turn away from it. We don't try to rationalize it or take it on board and think, well, it wasn't okay in the 1960s because culture was different then, but things have evolved so much, it's okay now. No, it's not okay now. It's not okay now. And when God comes along and deals with our heart, and there's many people, let's face it, overall in the Christian church today, and because of even the situation in the nation at the moment, they're at wit's end corner. There's a communion. That's why we love you to come and pray. And if you can't come to prayer, pray at home, please. There's a communion. And then there's a care. That shows that Jacob was putting into action that which he had taken on board. And in the confidence, they moved out and they journeyed. And not only did God keep them safe on their journey and keep the enemy away, he sent such terror into the hearts of the enemy, they didn't even come out. Now, you and I cannot fully understand that, but we know what happened. And all the enemies that there are today, there's none of them too big for the Lord. Take encouragement from that. I have one final thought here. There was the commendation. Now, four things can be said about Jacob's going to Bethel. And if you look there in verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings, and Jacob took them there and hid them. And Jacob, verse 6, and Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. He could have got sidetracked along the way. There could have been the opportunity to go an easy way. People, unfortunately, can look for an easy way out. The easy way isn't always the best way. Jacob didn't do that. Jacob went straight to Bethel. He went straight to Bethel. And folks, when the Lord guides his people, that's what we need to do. He showed us the things that are fundamental to functioning as a Christian church and as Christian people. What we do, we pray, we read God's word, we fellowship with God's people, we love one another in the Lord, we reach out to others. Some preach, some are too shy to say anything, but they live before the Lord. He went straight there. Because when you get sidetracked, you run into difficulties. Remember Caleb in Numbers 13 pleading with the people? Every time I read that, I feel sorry for him. Telling them that they were able to go up and defeat these giants and walls. He couldn't do it himself, of course. Nobody knew it better than him. But he knew God was on his side and wouldn't go. They wouldn't go, and that must be, you can bring it even up more to date. And remember, think of a commanding officer with a group of soldiers, and there's some point or other that they need to take, and it looks so difficult to think. Some people are saying, no, we can't do it. It would be suicide to do that. Don't do it. The commanding officer, he knows a strategy, and he knows a way of doing it, and he knows it can be overcome, and yet they turn and say, no, we're not going. Well, that's how it was with Caleb. Caleb knew the strategy at that time was to leave it to the Lord, to move forward and leave it to the Lord. The commendation was that he went straight up to Bethel. Number six there, you will see that he influenced others, he and all the people that were with him. This has changed Jacob now. He's marching on at this time with the Lord. And by the way, the very best way to influence people for good is to obey God. To obey God. Simple as that. Don't have to have any special talent, but if you obey him. Verse 7 there, and we're moving quickly here. This is another commendation. He built an altar. He built an altar unto the Lord, and he called it El Bethel. In Genesis 28, he called the place Bethel. And again in verse 15, he called it Bethel. But now he calls it El Bethel, which means God of the house of God. So not only did in worship did Jacob see the house of God, but more importantly, he saw the God of the house of God. He's in tune. Takes from tune now. Because as he steps out here, the Lord has worked for him and dealt with the enemies. He went straight towards Bethel. He influenced others. He builds the altar here. And he recognizes the presence of God in the house of God. And brethren and sisters, that is what we seek to do as a Christian people. It doesn't matter if we're a Free Presbyterian. We're just a tiny part of God's church on earth. But to go on with him and to follow his leading. I must finish, but I just want to say that in verse 11, it says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty." In the original language, this is El Shaddai, meaning strengthener or nourisher. And what a blessing there was for Jacob now that he followed after the Lord. Tell me this morning, do you feel at wit's end corner? Maybe it's personal things, maybe it's national trouble. Maybe it's as you see the future, you feel a bit like Jacob at the end of chapter 34 and you think, well, heaven's a mess. Wit's end corner. Look again to the Lord, because as the Lord looked to Jacob, he looked to you. And the title this morning was Moving On from Wit's End Corner. I hope that you're able to do that. If you're there, that you're able to do it today, that the Lord will strengthen you and help you and lead you on continually with himself. And our time is gone.